So we seem to be mostly settled now. So time to begin the course. And so first of all, I say I'm very glad to be back here and glad to see you all here. And looking forward very much to this next series of talks and discussions that we're going to have on this very important topic in Buddhism, on karma rebirth. So I'm going to start out by for this morning, just introducing the course and explaining what we're trying to do here, and then make a beginning on some of the teachings on karma. But the main theme for today's workshop is going to be myth-busting. Okay, so we're going to be busting the myths on karma and rebirth, and I'll talk more about that a little bit later. So, many of you were here the year before last, wasn't it? I think we skipped a year, didn't we? We skipped a year last year. We were too lazy to do a course last year, so we did some sort of classes and things. So we did the early Buddhism course 2 years ago, and that was something, was an initiative that Ajahn Brahmali and myself thought of and we put together. And the reason for doing that was because we often find that in the way that Buddhism is presented, you have a lot of kind of Dhamma talks, meditation teachings and things like that, but we don't find so much which is giving us a comprehensive grounding on what are the basic teachings, what's the actual historical context, where do these things come from? And so often, you might hear different monks or nuns or teachers of various kinds sort of saying different kinds of things and so on. And we don't know how to distinguish what is it that the Buddha taught from the things that the Buddha didn't teach and so on and so forth, right? Now, of course, there are some things that can help us out. One thing that's excellent for helping to determine that is one of my favorite websites, fakebuddhaquotes.com. Do you know that one? Yeah. Write it down, fakebuddhaquotes.com. Excellent. And so people will give him sort of things that the Buddha was supposed to have said, and then he does the research. And he actually does a really nice job, because he finds out, if they're not spoken by the Buddha, he finds out where they come from and traces the sources and things like that. So he actually does a really nice job. So that's fakebuddhaquotes.com. That's up for that, right up there, together with buddhismforvampires.com. It's one of my favorite websites. Okay. So, karma and rebirth. So the first course we did was like it's a general introduction to early Buddhism. What does it mean? What are we talking about when we talk about early Buddhism? The texts of early Buddhism, the historical context, the meaning and the application of it. And for this morning's thing, I'm going to run very quickly back over some of those basics to refresh your memory if you're here last time, or to give you some introduction if you weren't here last time. Okay, so I'll come back to that in just one moment. So we ran that course. We ran it both here at the Buddhist Library, and we ran it concurrently at the BSWA in Perth. And at the BSWA, because Ajahn Brahmali's there, then we taught it together when we're here. I taught it myself. And since then, I've also taught it once more, just last month, actually, in Singapore. And we ran it very successfully at the Buddhist Fellowship in Singapore. And each time that we've run this course, the first early Buddhism course, we've had a great response, and we've had a lot of people coming, a lot of people interested, and a lot of very positive feedback to the course. And so I think it really is fulfilling some kind of need which perhaps has been lacking in the way that Buddhism's being presented. So we had this idea to do more courses, right? We didn't want to just keep doing the same one over and over again. So we wanted to take up that theme of teaching about early Buddhism in a fairly systematic way, but we wanted to maybe explore some other topics in some more detail. And we went through a number of different possibilities. We were thinking like meditation in early Buddhism, or something like more teaching on like dependent origination, or these kinds of things. And we discussed various options, and then eventually we settled on the teachings on karma and rebirth. And I think this is, I think it's a very important and central teaching for many reasons. And it's also one where there's, I think, a lot of interest when you talk about this topic. People are fascinated by it. So I think that's a good sign that it's something which has some importance and relevance for people's spiritual life. So we'll be running this course. It will consist of talks. It will consist of discussions. So you get together and talk among yourselves. Some meditation and readings. So we're trying to provide a sort of a rich context for you to learn the Dhamma. And hopefully during the break between sessions that you'll get the chance to do the readings for the various suttas and so on. Give you a chance to like reflect on those things. So maybe even just don't read them once, but maybe read them, you know, once or twice, and then reflect on them, come back to them, and so on. Just a quick note on those readings. I've given URL. I've given the basic references for those readings, and I've also given the URLs for those readings in the document which was distributed, hopefully to everyone here. If you didn't receive it, then you should be able to get it from the Buddhist Library website or from our discourse platform, which I'll talk about in just a moment. But you'll find that some of those URLs don't work yet. They will soon, okay? That is an ongoing project that I'm getting around to making sure. Some of the suttas that we've given as readings actually have translations of them. So I have to do the translations and then upload them. So that'll just take a little bit of time to do that. Sue mentioned earlier the sort of central project that I've been working on. So sort of central is a website which has these early Buddhist texts in both original language and translations where they are available. And we currently have over 35,000 texts on sort of central in about 20 languages. So in addition to the sort of central main site, we are also developing a forum platform for discussion and extra resources regarding the suttas and early Buddhism and so on. And so this is a platform called, as you can see from the URL here, which you can hardly read on the screen, but anyway, discourse.suttacentral.net, okay? And just to clarify, when it says discourse here, discourse is actually the name of the software that we're using to run this forum. It's actually called Discourse Platform, right? As purely by coincidence, of course, discourse is usually the word we use to translate sutta. So we thought, we can just leave it at the default setting. We just call it discourse, and it works perfectly well. So that's very nice. And so they set up this platform, and one of the reasons why we're using this platform is because they had a very nice philosophy behind it, which was to encourage civil conversation on the internet, right? Formed by people who are either incredible idealists or complete idiots. Time will tell, okay? Or both. Idealistic idiots, perhaps. But anyway, people who believed that it is possible to actually have a civil, polite, constructive dialogue on the internet. Amazing idea, huh? Why didn't anybody think of that before? So anyway, I encourage everybody to go to the Discourse platform, sign up, and then join in the conversation, and you'll find that all of the resources for the course will be uploaded here. So we have the various interviews, discussions, and so on. We'll talk more about these later. We'll be uploading files that you need for the slideshows, the videos, audio tapes, and things like that. But also you can ask questions, pose your own topics, add extra resources, and things like that. So this will all be available on the Discourse platform, okay? One thing to just mention now is you see we have a number of interviews, and you see we did three long interviews, Sachin Brahmani and myself did, with Jim Tucker, who is the leading researcher into cases of reincarnation and rebirth. He's taken over from the very well-known Professor Ian Stevenson, who passed away a few years ago. So Jim Tucker very kindly agreed to do an interview with us, and we had a long talk with him, very interesting talk. As we did with Bhikkhu Bodhi, and we're talking about questions of rebirth and so on with him, and we got into all kinds of questions, like, for example, is it possible to be reborn as an alien on another planet, right? If you've ever wondered about that, okay, then the answer is now there for you. Anyway, even if that question isn't answered, then the question of what is it that monks like to talk about among themselves is maybe answered. Anyway, moving on. And we also had a nice interview with Richard Gombrich, who's a very well-known professor of early Buddhist studies at Oxford. He runs the Oxford Centre for Buddhist Studies and one of the leading scholars of Buddhism in the world today. So we had lovely Skype interviews with all three of those gentlemen. Unfortunately, because of our either incompetence or bad karma, I don't know which, but we managed to stuff up the technical side of those recordings each time. So that's bad, isn't it? Yes, it's very bad. Anyway, we did make transcripts of them, or some of our very good volunteers made transcripts of the interviews, so you can read the transcripts there, and we're going to see if we can recover a few clips or extracts from the interviews to show during the course as we go on, okay? But anyway, you can certainly read them here on the forum and discuss any of the issues and so on that have been raised there. So this again, this is discourse.suttacentral.net. If you're not sure how to find it, you can just go to my blog, Sujata's blog, and you can find it from there. And join up and join in the conversation. Undertaking this course and in what we're trying to achieve here, I would like to think that we can come to a better understanding, first of all, what this teaching of karma is. Second of all, what the teaching of karma is not. And third of all, what it means. In other words, what relevance it is. One of the things which I try to emphasize to people when studying Buddhism, especially studying early Buddhism, is to not be in too much of a hurry to make things relevant. Okay? And I think that this is one of the biggest flaws that people have in studying early Buddhism, I think perhaps even in spiritual life generally, but restricted to early Buddhism. As soon as we hear something, we immediately apply it to our situation and our time and our place, which of course is very understandable, but who's to say that it's actually relevant to you? Maybe it's not, okay? Maybe all the things that we're talking about are purely theoretical, historical things that have no relevance whatsoever to your life. Do you think that's likely? Uh-huh. Someone saying yes? Maybe. Maybe not, right? But if we simply assume that when we hear something, that it's going to be relevant, then we can never really understand what that thing is. We're never really suspending our own views. We're not investigating and reflecting on our own ideas and preconceptions. Okay? And we'll bend everything to fit with our own ideas. Okay? So when we're looking at the early Buddhist teachings, first thing to remember is we're talking about a time 2,500 years ago, a place far, far away, with an evil empire, no. And and it was different. People were different. They spoke a different language. They had a different culture. They had different preconceptions and so on. Okay? Now, we understand little of that. And most of the things that we think we understand about it are wrong. Okay? So we have to be prepared to begin with to suspend everything. You know, we're like the beginner's mind, okay? So we just forget everything. Okay? We don't know. Like a little baby, perhaps. Yeah. All potential. Right? So we don't start out the course with, we try to suspend as many preconceptions as possible. And this is one of the reasons why we're starting with the topic of myth busting for the first workshop, okay? And I should sort of clarify here, and this is something which I've tried to explain many times with apparent failure. But the word myth here, we're obviously using the word myth in just a kind of popular, fairly cheap sense of saying a false idea that people think that isn't really true, right? But actually, the word myth, when we're looking at it in spiritual circles, has a much more profound meaning. And when we talk about mythology and discussing religion, then usually mythology means something like stories that have a meaning for a people and for a community. So that's the real sort of religious meaning of myth, and that's not what we're meaning here. What we mean here is the cheap and nasty popular meaning of the word, okay? Myth-busting. So things that people believe about the doctrine of karma and rebirth, but which aren't really true. And we find that in Buddhist circles today that there are multiple different and often very conflicting ideas about what karma is. I think we find a lot of extremes. Right? And I think one extreme we find in traditional Buddhist cultures where karma and rebirth has become almost the raison d'etre of the whole thing. It's like your whole purpose is to do some kind of ritual act so you can get reborn in heaven and make good karma and so on, and that's what the religion is. And karma is everything. And these are kind of views that we hear frequently repeated throughout every traditional Buddhist culture, as far as I'm aware. The idea that karma is the cause of everything and everything is conditioned by karma and so on. So from that one extreme, we then come to another extreme in modern times, and we often find a complete rejection of the notion of karma and rebirth altogether. And that idea, of course, is very well known in the secular circles, where the idea of rebirth is sort of dismissed as being some traditional superstition or something like that. But that belief is actually not just a sort of a Western secularist belief. It is foundational, for example, in Ambedkar Buddhism, right, which is the Buddhism which is basically the main form of Buddhism in India, founded by Ambedkar, who was originally an outcast and sort of investigated its Hindu tradition and so on, and started studying Buddhism and saw it as a way of supporting and empowering people to escape from the strictures of Hinduism, especially for the outcast community, the Dalit community in India. And one of the things that he believed was that the notion of karma was because the karma was basically used by the Hindus in order to say to the Dalits, tough luck, right? That's your karma, bad luck, deal with it, go clean my toilet, right? That's your karma. And so Ambedkar didn't believe that the Buddha could teach something which was so cruel, and so he rejected the whole idea of karma altogether, okay? Also, even in traditional Buddhist cultures, we find frequently that these notions of karma and rebirth are being questioned. This is something that's pointed out to me by Chandra, my guy here, a few years ago. We were driving to Dana with a Sri Lankan family, and I said, what should I talk about? And Chandra said, well, I don't know if you noticed, but every time you go to have Dana with Sri Lankan families, they always ask you about karma and rebirth. Right? And that's kind of a very interesting observation. When I was in Germany a couple of years ago, we did a retreat. There's about 40 people on the retreat. Maria will remember this, and I asked the question, who here thinks there's probably something to the idea of rebirth, right? And everybody puts their hand up, okay? Everybody there, all Europeans, basically, said, yes, we think that there's something to do with this idea of rebirth, except one person. And there was only one person who rejected the idea of rebirth, and that was the only Thai person on the retreat. Okay, so she was the only one who didn't believe in rebirth, right? Yeah. So these ideas that we often have about these things are often very, very simplistic. The reality is that these ideas are subtle, they're complex, and that they are deserving of a fair hearing. At the end of the day, you know, sometimes you might think that rebirth is true, sometimes you might think it's not, sometimes some aspects of it may be more acceptable than others and so on and so forth, and that's fine, right? I mean, this is Buddhism here. We're not going to, you know, it's right. Believe what you want to believe, practice what you want to believe, fine, okay? I don't care. All I care is that if we're going to be teaching Buddhism, if you're interested to understand it, then we can understand it in a way that has some meaning. At least we understand what it was that the Buddha was trying to say. Okay? You can accept that or reject that. It's up to you. You know, that's not my concern. My concern is only to try to present what is it that the Buddha taught in a way that has some meaning, or you can find some meaning for it. If you don't find any meaning in it, that's all right. Find some meaning in something else.